If you are a longtime listener of Pay Your Dues, you know that last year, me and the Boatman and Daddy Uro, we're all talking about going to do a parking lot podcast at the tailgate for the Iowa-Iowa State game. Obviously, that never happened, but we actually have some plans this year. So the Pay Your Dues tailgate, the parking lot podcast, what we're looking at doing is going to some different locations week in and week out, drinking a little bit, bringing on some rowdy fans for the hot takes, for the banter, for the chirps, and just seeing what characters we can ultimately come across.
I'm going to keep saying it. Pay your fucking dues.
It's the name of the goddamn podcast.
We've definitely paid our dues.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Ash Kennedy, and you know exactly what day it is. It is Tuesday, my dudes. Happy Tuesday, happy Tuesday, Tuesday. And coming this Tuesday on this episode of Pay Your Dues here, we're going to be talking about some college football news day on this Tuesday, Tuesday. So definitely make sure to hit that subscribe button if you are new here to Pay Your Dues, and also make sure to pay your own dues by subscribing to the OnlyFans for exclusive access to that visual podcast, because as any loyal subscriber knows, we do every single podcast of Pay Your Dues in the nude. So if you're looking to see some nice cocks, please make sure to head on over to OnlyFans.com/payyourdues. The link is in the description. As we are talking about college football news, because week one is officially over and college football is back, baby. And boy, we had quite an eventful week one coming this week with football. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here. Going to be talking about some banter, talking about some news, anything that's upsetting, anything that is exciting, looking forward. And we're going to get into the news of college football, but then at the end of this podcast, we also got some very exciting news to go through as well. So make sure to stick around to the very end and you'll be able to hear everything. But without further ado, let's go ahead and just get right into what is going on with college football. So if you are a loyal listener of Pay Your Dues or a longtime subscriber, you know that me, Ash Kennedy, I'm an alumni of the University of Iowa. I'm also a lifelong Hawkeye fan. And this is the first thing I want to talk about from this last Saturday, because if you know anything about what happened on Saturday with Iowa, we certainly had a rough one against South Dakota State. And what do you mean rough one? We won. Yes, we did win indeed. Final score, 7-3. The thing about that final score is that if you didn't watch the game and you just kind of live under a rock, didn't know about the news, you would think that it was a touchdown to a field goal. No, it was a field goal to another field goal mixed with two safeties. 3+2+2. There was a headline from, I think, the Cedar Rapids, whatever the newspaper is that goes through Cedar Rapids. It's like 20 minutes north of Iowa City. And it said, IWAVICTRY. You get it? Iowa victory, but because there's no O, there's no offense. Huh, kind of dry, but no, I mean, they definitely got it accurate. Very good meme of mocking Iowa football. The thing is that, like, the opening spread on this game was averaging about 17.5 points favored towards Iowa. And some sports had that spread as high as 20 points. Some sports books had that spread as low as 15 points. I had multiple people asking me the night before the game saying, you think Iowa should be able to take care of the South Dakota State Jackrabbits? And I said, should they? Yes. But I'm going to be honest, this spread of even 15 points being a little bit too generous. And I was right, because as you saw, the final spread was only 4 points. If sports betting by the app was legal in the state of Florida, which, you know, where we're located at, I easily would have taken South Dakota State to cover that spread. And based on the way that they did cover, I could have made a fuck ton of money on this. Oh my God. If only I would have just pulled the trigger and drove to a casino to make the sports bet in person. That would have just been the highlight of my weekend. But no, instead I had to watch a boring ass game and know that I was right all along about South Dakota State covering the spread and keeping it much closer than they probably should against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Wow. I mean, I did learn though this weekend that even though sports betting by the app is illegal here, technically I could get in a boat and go out in the ocean. Apparently you don't have to go even that far out either. And then once I'm out in the ocean, then I can do it. So that might be a move in the near future. It might just be renting a kayak or a canoe and just paddling out in the ocean a little bit, just so I can get on my phone for a few minutes and then just let the current take me right back in, or at least hopefully take me back into shore. Anyways, have some paddle with me and I'll just, you know, start stroking my way back towards the coast. But yeah, anyways, yeah, no need to go down to the casino when you can just get on your boat and go out in the water. The thing is that if you were watching that game for a while in the second half, it was looking like the final score was going to be 5-3 because they got that first safety. And it's like, wow, now there's a lead. This is getting interesting, even though it was not interesting, a bunch of punts going back and forth. And the thing is that the final score would have been 5-3. It would have been the first game in right about, I think, 40 years that had a final score of 5-3. And funny story, that previous game of the 5-3 back in the 80s also included the Iowa Hawkeyes. I believe that was a game where they lost to the Arizona Wildcats. So, I mean, no need to be pissed about it nowadays. It's been 40 years. As far as I know, it wasn't even in a bowl game. It might have been. I really don't even know. But without a doubt, if you are a college football fan and you spent a few hours on Saturday watching this game, I want you to know that I am very regretful that you spent your time doing so. This was probably the worst game of week one to watch. And it pains me to say it, but man, I wish Iowa was a fun team to watch, but right now what they got going on is just, it works because they won, but man, it's just, it certainly was not pretty. Nothing but just punting the ball back and forth. The thing is, South Dakota State, they were ranked number 2 or number 3 in the FCS, depending on what source you look at. So obviously they're going to be a pretty decent team. Granted, this is a team that's probably going to end up making a run for the FCS National Championship. I mean, in the FCS, you have to be decent to do that anyway because they have a 32-team playoff, which we're going to do a 12-team playoff soon. That's other news, but no need to talk about that. Talk about it on the podcast with the playbook. Make sure to check his out in case you do want to hear that discussion. The thing is, SDSU is ranked very high in the FCS. So maybe they just matched up super well against Iowa. Or maybe both teams just have absolutely zero offense and could not get anything going. The way that I think it's looking, maybe the Iowa defense is back from last year. Last year, Iowa had one of the best defenses in the entire league, which is how they got to the 10-2 record, went to the Big Ten Championship, lost to that, but then went to the Citrus Bowl and lost that too. But still, a 10-win season, pretty solid when you're the Iowa program. Obviously, 10 wins ain't a lot for like Ohio State or Alabama, but for Iowa, 10 wins is a pretty good year. And the thing is, like, yeah, the defense is back. It's looking maybe even a little bit better than it was last year. It's still pretty early to tell, but they are looking pretty solid so far. As I said, maybe South Dakota State has a shit offense, or maybe Iowa's defense is just powerful. But unfortunately, the offense for Iowa is back as well, and it's looking kind of lethargic as they did last year. At this point, they might even be worse, which you would think, how is it even possible from how bad they already were last year? Well, last year, they were ranked as the worst offense in the Big Ten. Yep, you heard that right. And based on the way that it's looking now, that honestly might be happening again. I don't remember what the source was. I think it was Twitter. Apparently, Spencer Petras, the Iowa quarterback, has a QB rating of a 1.1. I think it was on Twitter, and somebody said, I didn't even know it was possible to have a QB rating that low. Wow, I mean, obviously, like, defense wins championships and all. You got to stop their team from scoring, but come on, you got to be able to score yourself. You got to be able to move down the field and put a little bit of offense on. Like, come on, man. That field goal off of a fumble and then two safeties just because of a good punt. You guys got to do a little bit better than that. What's good news is that this coming week, it's the Iowa versus Iowa State matchup, which is going to be able to give a better gauge of how every team is going to be looking in the Big Ten relative to the Big 12, because now we're going to see the way that Iowa stacks up against a Big 12 team. What does that mean against the Big 12 team? What are you saying? What that means is pretty much we will see how they can perform when playing against a team that comes from a conference that avoids defense at all costs and tries to simply be explosive on offense. because if you know the running joke about the Big 12 is that the Big 12 does not play defense. And being against Iowa's defense, it might be a good matchup if Iowa has that solid defense that they're looking at. And Iowa State, they put up 42 points, I believe, against Southeast Missouri, which, I mean, who the fuck, Southeast Missouri, but whatever, they only sacrificed 10 points, I believe. So whatever, we'll be able to see how the matchup goes, see how it stacks up. Maybe the thing is that, as mentioned, SDSU, maybe they just had a good offense that Iowa completely shut down all Saturday long. And maybe it was vice versa for Iowa's offense. Maybe Iowa had a really good offense that we just simply couldn't tell because that powerful South Dakota State defense. I don't know. Final score 7-3. It's looking like the defenses are good, or the offenses both are just bad. But who knows? That's what the rest of the season's for. I think this week with Iowa State, we're going to see a little bit higher scoring of a game. Maybe some points in the 20s, at least in the double digits. Please, God, help both teams get to at least in the double digits of scoring. I want to watch something interesting. Nobody wants to watch a field goal and safety fight. I mean, back in 2004, Iowa beat Penn State. Final score, 6-4. Where they strategically took the safeties because they knew that they could stop the Penn State offense just for the sake of getting better field position. That is just absurd. You would think that that was going to be the weirdest scoring game of all time. This one almost beat it with the final score 5-3, but I mean 7-3. Hey, it's going to go down the yearbooks. People are going to see it as, oh, it's a field goal to a touchdown. Us, the real ones who watch the game, know. Nope. It was not a field goal to a touchdown. It was a field goal to a field goal mixed with two additional safeties on top of there. The thing is that I don't even know how disgusting the offense is going to look, but we need to see how they match up against that non-existent Big 12 defense. And also, as mentioned before, make sure to check out that episode of the playbook that I was just a part of yesterday. That's going to be episode number 3. Zach, the host, actually is predicting Iowa to end up at the number 3 seed in the college football playoffs. I literally told him verbatim on the podcast, dude, you are setting me up for disappointment by saying that. Please, like, don't say that lightly. Last year, we saw them get up, ranked up to number 2 in the country and then lost to Purdue at home. Oh my God, that was embarrassing. Final score 24-7. How are you going to beat number 4 ranked Penn State and then lose to unranked Purdue the next week by more than one score? 24-7. What? Why is that happening? Come on, get something going with the offense. Nobody even knows why that happened. All I know is that Purdue enjoyed it and we didn't. And it was just super disappointing. Obviously, you're going to go down as one of the most disappointing losses in Iowa history. But come on, why has he got to say that Iowa's going to be the 3 seed? Like, the 3 seed, that's even like being generous. You would think that they're going to be the team, if anything, God forbid, to sneak their way in, they would end up at like the 4 seed, but not the 3 seed. I don't know. We'll see when it happens. He was saying that defense wins the championships, but you got to have a little bit of an offense too to win the championships, I'd say. The thing is that Iowa isn't even ranked yet this season. So I would not even go as far as to say that they're going to end up in the top 3. Maybe they'll end up ranked if they just continue winning and don't lose. I mean, come on. Really, that's all it goes down to winning championships is just don't fucking lose. I've talked about it before about how if you have that really good entrance as a team, you just have that vibe as you're walking out when you just know you're not fucking losing this one. And, you know, maybe that's all it takes us to win championships. I mean, some people say you got to have that mentality of you came out to win this game, not to not lose it. I'm the vice versa of that. I think you need to go in there just not losing. As long as you don't lose, you're a winner. If you're not losing, you're succeeding, aren't you? Or are you just neutral? College football nowadays is a game that there are no ties. There are no draws. So if you're not losing, you're winning. Yeah, ain't that right? So the thing is that hopefully this disgusting offensive performance of this last weekend can get shaped up, and hopefully that the defense is going to be truly the real deal, because I would love to see them just completely dominate every team, shut them down, get the 3 and outs every single drive. That's what it's going to take for Iowa to put up a fight against the tough schedule they have this year of Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and then, as he's saying, possibly Alabama in the playoffs. I wouldn't go as that far to say it yet, but we'll see it when it happens. We'll see as the rest of the season just unfolds to where everything's going. He thinks Iowa is going to shock everybody. And I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe it's possible. Anything's possible any given Saturday, but we don't know. But we also have some other news about college football. Don't want to talk about Iowa football too much because it's just going to depress everybody, get us all down in the dumps. Just worried about, yeah, man, you guys think about Iowa football. Must suck to be a Hawkeye fan. At least we're winning so far, but ended last year on a couple of losses, and this year we're trying to avoid any losses at all, which keeping it close against an FCS team is going to be kind of scary. But anyways, moving forward, some other big news in college football that happened this week. First one that comes to mind was the Florida Gators beat the Utah Utes. They are ranked number 7. This might be the biggest upset of the week. The Florida quarterback, Anthony Richardson, put on a complete show if you go and watch the reruns of it, whether he was running around, scrambling out of the pocket, throwing into the end zone, and just making plays. It was easily one of the most fun games to watch this last weekend. I did not get a chance to watch it because I believe it was at the same time as some other game that I was watching. I think it was the same time as the Notre Dame-Ohio State game. But still, a very exciting game to watch. Congratulations to the Florida Gators for beating a top 10 team. As they're unranked that first week, I believe they're ranked number 11 now in the AP Bowl. Rutgers beat Boston College. That's going to be a very big upset this week as well. I believe Boston College was favored by 7 points. Rutgers came out and beat Boston College by 1 point. So represent the Big Ten, Rutgers. We will never go against you. Hopefully, Rutgers, you do lose against Iowa, though, in a few weeks when Iowa travels to New Brunswick or whatever it's called in New Jersey where you're located at. But until then, Rutgers, win all the games you want. Look good, because then it's going to make Iowa look good when they beat you. Number 11, Georgia, got completely stomped by... Georgia, number 3, they stomped number 11, Oregon. I'm completely backwards on that. Georgia, ranked number 3, the current national champions, the defending national champions, stomped number 11, Oregon. Last year, we saw Oregon, I believe, ranked number 11, or maybe it was number 13, went into Columbus, Ohio to play the number 3 Buckeyes, and they pulled off the upset. This year, they went into Georgia, the glorified home site of Atlanta, to play the Bulldogs, only an hour or so from Athens, and they didn't even put up a fight. They put up 3 points, and they allowed 49 points. So Georgia is looking like they're probably going to be a team contending for the national title again, if not being that top team to win the national title this year again. Pittsburgh beat West Virginia. West Virginia, kind of a spotty team. I know that sometimes they're off to a good start. This year they're off with a loss, so maybe West Virginia is going to end up being good. Maybe they're going to be a regular Big 12 team as normal. Pittsburgh, I think, is going to take a step back this year because they lost their Heisman candidate quarterback, Kenny Pickett, and they also lost some other people, but Pitt's probably going to be looking pretty good this year. Maybe not as good as they were last year, but looking at maybe 8-4, 7-5, 9-3, something in that area. Another thing, speaking of Purdue, Penn State beat Purdue this week, so we always love to see it when Purdue loses. That was actually probably the best game of the Thursday night. Instead of Pittsburgh, West Virginia, you have a game where Penn State was in control the entire time. And then at the very end, Penn State throws a pick 6. Purdue takes a small lead. Penn State gets the ball back, has a game-winning drive. They score, go up by 4, and then Purdue just can't do anything. I love to see it. Iowa does not play Penn State this year unless they maybe meet in the Big Ten Championship. So I want Penn State to be successful. And more importantly, I am fine with Big Ten West teams losing because it's only going to help Iowa in the standings to get to Indianapolis for that Big Ten championship. Also, going back to Ohio State and Notre Dame, if you were watching that game, the entire first half, Notre Dame appeared to be in complete control. They went into the halftime 10-7, leading the Buckeyes, and then Ohio State had a rally in the second half to actually shut out the Notre Dame Irish. Final score, 21-10. So it just goes to show that maybe C.J. Stroud took a little bit of time to get warmed up, and then he started cooking, and Then the defense started getting some momentum too. They got that home field advantage. They have what's known as the loudest field in college football, if not one of them. I'll get to experience it myself this year when Iowa goes to Columbus to play the Buckeyes. But Ohio State, as expected, ranked number two, beat the number five team. So that was just completely up by expectations. The spread was, I believe, 17 points for that. They won by 11. So if you would have taken Notre Dame to cover the spread on that game, good bet that you made for that one. Absolutely phenomenal bet. My personal favorite game of this week, though, that I have to say was Sunday night's Florida State versus LSU. Such an exciting game to watch. You see how Florida State has that 24-10 lead with a few minutes left in the game. LSU goes down, gets a touchdown, gets the extra point. They're down 17-24. FSU gets the ball. They don't do anything. They punt it. It goes down to within the 10-yard line. The LSU special teams guy fumbles it. FSU gets the ball back. They run one play, get to the 2-yard line. They run the other play. For some reason, they decide to toss the ball on the goal line when they could have just done a QB sneak or a handoff. Running back fumbles the ball. LSU gets it back. They're on the 1-yard line. There's under a minute left. LSU goes down the field. They get a guy out of bounds at the 2-yard line with 1 second left. And then LSU gets the touchdown. They're down 23-24. And then in comes the FSU special teams field goal to block the field goal and win the game 23-24. This one is not going to overtime, folks. Can you believe that? I mean, that's two blocked kicks that FSU had that game. They blocked a regular field goal by LSU, and they blocked the extra point that would have forced overtime in that one. Maybe it's a lack of special teams on LSU, considering you had the return man fumble the ball a couple of times, muff the punt. He muffed the punt a couple of times. Or maybe it's just really good special teams from FSU, the fact that they're able to block two field goals. Or maybe just the LSU field goal team needs to be able to hold them back better. Who knows? But either way, that was a phenomenal matchup. Living off the mistakes of LSU that FSU did, but it was an exciting one. And not to mention just the way that FSU was playing the entire game. They're looking like an entirely different team, different program than what they've been like the last few years. The way that, what's the guy's name? Jordan Travis, the FSU quarterback, the way that he's all mobile, running around the pocket and making plays, the way the offensive line's holding blocks, the running backs are able to get more than 1 yard per run. But I mean, there obviously were some runs where they didn't get anywhere, but they're having some good runs here and there where they're getting first downs, 10 yards, 12 yards. FSU is one of those programs this year that actually may come back. And I'm not saying they're going to be as good as they were 9 years ago, the 2013 team with Jameis Winston win the national championship, but I could see FSU definitely ending up with a very good ranking and ended up in a pretty good bowl game. Of course, we got to see the way that everything's going to be turning out the rest of the season, but the way that the other Florida teams are looking, it's looking like the FSU-Miami game and that FSU-Florida game at the end of the season are going to be rather exciting, as long as each team can maintain its current hype that they're going and keep that energy going week in, week out until those rivalry games when they just put it all out on the field. Just how exciting that game was, though, watching FSU win that. I was watching the game with people who were FSU alumni, and them getting hyped up about it was getting me hyped up about it. Because I got the friends that are fans for them as well, I'm going to say there's a good chance I'm probably going to adopt the Seminoles this year as my second favorite team, depending on how Iowa is going to be looking. Because if they begin to disappoint me or just have these boring games like they did this last week, hey, a win's a win in the Big Ten, but I like watching a fun game. That was a fun game to watch on Sunday night with LSU-FSU. I'm probably going to be adopting the Seminoles. I actually saw one prediction that was saying that Iowa and Florida State may end up meeting up in a bowl game, possibly like the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So that'd be a real good matchup. Hopefully we could bring the boys together for that one. We all go traveling to a football game, wherever the hell Duke's Mayo Bowl is. I think it's in North Carolina. But I don't know. We all just go traveling. We all wear the FSU stuff, the Iowa stuff, chirp each other a little bit, and then we just get hammered and enjoy the game. Maybe do a parking lot podcast while we are there. Who knows? But speaking of the parking lot podcast, that actually is some of the exciting news that I want to be talking about on this podcast right now. So if you are a longtime listener of Pay Your Dues, you know that last year, me and the Boatman and Daddy Rowe were all talking about going to do a parking lot podcast at the tailgate for the Iowa-Iowa State game. Well, obviously that never happened because I moved out to the East Coast. That game was 1 week later. It makes no sense for me to go back to Iowa after moving to Maryland a week later. That defeats the purpose of moving across the country, so couldn't do that. The logistics just did not work out. Could not take the equipment with me. But we actually have some plans this year about a tentative schedule. A lot of this is just still up in the air. Some of this is pretty hard dates, but a lot of this is just proposed. So give me some feedback on what you think about this. If you love it, if you hate it, send me an email at payyourduespod@gmail.com. So the Pay Your Dues Tailgate, the parking lot podcast, what we're looking at doing is going to some different locations week in and week out and basically just recording in the podcast during the tailgate, drinking a little bit, bringing on some rowdy fans for the hot takes, for the banter, for the chirps, and just seeing what characters we can ultimately come across. First potential date that's coming to mind for me, UCF at FAU. So that is in a couple of weeks down here in South Florida where we're located at. This is a local game that's actually just a few minutes away from where we're located. It's a good opportunity to catch a glimpse of the Group of Five football scene. So not the Power Five conferences, but still some teams that are pretty good. See how the tailgate's like, see how it compares to Big Ten SEC tailgates. And pretty much get a glimpse of how it would work to do, how it would look to do these parking lot podcasts moving forward, the feasibility of it. All right. So that's just the first potential date. UCF coming to FAU. That's in a couple of weeks. Next tentative date that we are looking at is going to be back in the Midwest, actually, Michigan at Iowa. That game is on October 1st. So I'm already planning on going back to Iowa for that game because that's pretty much the biggest home game of the season, if not Wisconsin, if not Iowa State this week. So I'm already planning on going back there. I've also talked about some of the guys back there as well, some of the old boys, some of the guys that are currently in there that are about to graduate who I knew before I graduated. We're talking about taking my equipment back and recording the podcast with some of those old boys just to get back to where we were at. We have recorded podcasts before in the frat house basement, so why not just throw it back to those days? It's been over a year since we've done so. Let's go back with the equipment. Got that new updated equipment now that sounds significantly better than those shitty USB mics we used to be using. Take the equipment back and record a nice frat house basement podcast. And if I got the equipment back there and I have it in the parking lot, why not do a parking lot podcast for the tailgate as well? Because you just know that people are going to be going apeshit for that Michigan game. The Iowa fans get rowdy, and they're going to be getting loud and rowdy for that game against, at that point in time, they may be a top five ranked Michigan team, depending on how they lose or how they're looking. Michigan was looking pretty powerful this week. I believe they beat Colorado State 51-7, something like that. So they may be continuing their ranking, climbing up, and hopefully to get knocked off in Iowa City, but we're going back for that one. Tentative game number three. This is possible. I don't want to set anything in stone. Clemson at FSU. So this is actually in right about a month, I believe, maybe a little bit more than that. Because I was watching this FSU-LSU game with some people who are Florida State alumni, as I had mentioned. And I was saying, like, wow, this is exciting. I do want to go to a Florida State game. They were saying, honestly, I kind of do too now if they're going to be good this year. And so we are looking at going to Tallahassee. This game caught my eye because it's looking to be possibly the biggest home game of this year for the Seminoles. If not this one, it'd be the home game against the Florida Gators, which that's during Rivalry Week, which I'm going to be back in Iowa for the Thanksgiving for that. Not the Thanksgiving. I'm going to be back home for Thanksgiving, I guess, and also the Iowa-Nebraska game, so maybe that's going to be a tentative one for me that same week as well, but I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Clemson at FSU, right now Clemson's ranked number four. If Dabo Swinney can continue getting big wins and bouncing back like he has most of his career at Clemson, keeping them as a playoff contender, that's going to be a big game, especially if FSU continues winning and looking powerful as they have these first 2 weeks. Tentative game number four that we are looking to go to. Iowa at Ohio State. So as we were talking about with me going to Columbus for the Iowa-Ohio State game, I'm actually predicting Iowa to go in there and potentially shock the Buckeyes by a very minimal amount, only because of it being a trap game with Ohio State looking forward at playing Penn State the next week. Ohio State has to travel to Penn State. You know it's going to be a tough environment for them. You know it's going to be brutal. So maybe Iowa can catch them off guard, catch them not paying attention, catch them looking forward. Not saying they're the better team, simply saying that maybe they can just go in there, catch them off guard. I already have the hotel booked. All I need to do is get the flight booked. I have the game tickets. As I said, this odd prediction of Iowa beating Columbus, everybody's going to doubt me. It's, as I said, may not even happen. It's obviously not likely to happen. So why not just go there, take all the equipment with me, and chirp some people in red and, you know, scarlet and gray. That's what, it's not red, it's scarlet. Chirp the scarlet and gray people while I'm there and just get some hot takes from them as well. Send them saying that they're going to kick Iowa's ass. And then, lo and behold, whose prediction was right? Who knows? We'll see it when we get to it. Tailgate number 5. This is one. This is the original one that was brought to mind for me. This is going to be almost a guaranteed location that we're going to be dropping by for the Pay Your Dues podcast. This is actually going to be a collaboration, the Pay Your Dues and Playbook podcast. So the Pay Your Dues Playbook, you could say. This is Florida versus Georgia in Jacksonville. So Jacksonville is actually where Zach with the Playbook is based out of. So he brought the idea to me about doing a collaboration in the parking lot there. I absolutely love the idea of it. It brought back to me that idea of going to Iowa at Ohio State last year. Obviously, it didn't happen. But he brought back to me the idea of doing these parking lot podcasts. And I love the idea. So you will find both of us almost guaranteed at Florida versus Georgia in Jacksonville. That is October 29th, so the exact week after Iowa plays Ohio State. Number 6, this is a week after that Florida-Georgia game. Going back to an FSU team, FSU at Miami. So another little small drive for me. Going right back to that same stadium we saw the weekend in a little over a month ago. Actually, it was about a month ago. I've been there for that concert. I know where it's at. Long story short, don't take public transport there. Don't take Ubers. Drive yourself. It's right off the turnpike. It probably would only take me 30 minutes to drive there. And honestly, depending on how both teams have been looking so far this season, they're looking like they might be pretty good. If both teams can keep that hype going, keep that power looking, this may be a matchup of the undefeateds. And it may be a big deal. FSU-Miami. Let's not forget, this is a rivalry. We're back in the 2000s. Back in the 90s, it wasn't uncommon for these two teams to meet each other and play during the regular season, and both of them are ranked in the top 10. Is that possible this year? I don't know. If both teams keep winning, it may be possible. I think FSU is going to continue winning, and they're probably going to get a ranking in front of them. Miami is already ranked, so I think this is going to be a good matchup this year. If it's not a good matchup, it's at least a big rivalry. So, I mean, you also got the Miami lifestyle as well. And then FSU being such a big school for Greek life, just bring out all the frat boys for this one, because we're going to be down in Miami just paying our dues, just like their episode of Paying Dues in Miami, the first time trying that hard Mountain Dew, which, by the way, I've not seen in quite a while, which I do want to get my hands on some more hard Mountain Dew. But if you are going to be going to any of these games, definitely make sure to link up with us, because we're going to be setting up a table and just going to be doing the podcast right there in the parking lot. As I said, to give us feedback on if that's a good idea or a bad idea, the email is payyourduespod@gmail.com. And also make sure to shoot me an email if you're interested in doing any collaborations moving forward. But I mean, that's really it for us. We have college football week number one on the way. Really, just going to be an exciting season. Obviously, win or lose, you still enjoy the sport. There's no other sport with as significant a regular season as college football is. So you got to enjoy every game for what it is, week in and week out. Of course, with the 12-team playoff coming, that regular season isn't necessarily going to be as important as it is currently, but it's still going to be a big deal, because college football, you know, we all get rowdy for it. I get rowdy for it. And we're going to be getting rowdy for it at all of these tailgates that we're hopefully going to this year as well. So that's all I got for you today. I appreciate you if you made it to the end of this podcast. I just want you to know I love you all. To pay your own dues, hit that subscribe button if you're new here, and to subscribe to the OnlyFans for exclusive access to that visual podcast if you are trying to see some of those naked, nice cocks. So Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, always remember as usual to pay your dues and pound your brews. I wasn't actually holding the can this time. No can cracks, but just enough to say and enough to keep you over your edge and on your seat. Thanks for listening or watching. You enjoy the rest of your week. Take care.